Okay, thank you so much. It was very, very informative, all of you. And we want to have time for questions, but we also want just a little bit of interaction among the panel. And I wanted to just start it off by saying, as Michael alluded to, and you've all spoken to a bit, this is really a battle of public opinion as well, that we can't depend on the legal system, obviously. And we have a lot of people in the room who I would call the usual suspects. How do we get the unusual suspects? The people who are kind of the silenced but might be interested in civil liberties issues if they really knew this story? What can we do to reach out to that broad midsection that usually remains silent, is somewhat uninformed about this, would be probably surprised by both the history and the reality of this? Anybody like to?
Okay. Invite one of the 23 of us to meet those people. Because what I've noticed is that all 23 of us are very personable people. We're obviously not terrorists. It's easier for you to relate to the case if you have met one of us. I mean, for me, I wasn't even a political activist before going on my trip. I went to Palestine and Israel as a concerned citizen. I'm just like anybody else who has traveled abroad to see what a country is like for themselves and to come back and talk about it. And so I don't think that this is just about, you know, our political views and that kind of thing. It's, we're the ones being targeted, but after we're targeted, like this, you know, the title of this panel is, who are they going to target if they are successful in targeting us? What issue is going to be the issue of focus then? And so I think all of us are at risk in that sense. If we lose our, you know, our First Amendment rights, who loses them next? So that would be what I would say.
So a lot of you here may belong to other organizations. Either you belong to a religious organization, a community group, perhaps a union. And this is, I think, one of the best sources for support, because a lot of organizations have members who aren't necessarily aware of what's going on. So having one of the 23 meet with an organization you're involved with, and then having that organization take a stand to educate their membership about it and officially condemn the attacks is a good step forward to spreading awareness about it, but also bringing numbers, because what we're looking for is a mass opposition to this.
I just want to add one number, which is, it is good to invite one of the 23 of us, and we've been from coast to coast, and there's YouTubes, and there's ways to meet us. But in a way, it seems like we're more inspired by the people that haven't met us and don't know us personally. I just want to mention one more number. Like she said, over 700,000 workers are represented in the union solidarity statements that Leah spoke about that are on the website. 700,000. I just want to say, yes, meet at 4:30 if there's an emergency. Yes, go to a conference, go to a meeting. But in some ways, if you can shout loud enough and everyone hears, they will be angry, whether they hear one of us or not. So just to give you spirit, they don't always have to know us to identify with us. They don't need those minivan details. We are you.
Let's start with questions out here. Go ahead.
I was just read something the other day about, Nelson Mandela was on the U.S. terrorism list. Maybe you don't know how long he was on the U.S. terrorism list. He was on after he got the Nobel Peace Prize, he was still on. After he was president of South Africa, he was still on. He was on the U.S. terrorism list until July 2008. And then they took him off the list. July 2008. Something you can explain about this case, the hypocrisy of the government, is that Chiquita Banana in Colombia gave $1.7 million to terrorist groups in Colombia on the right and the left. Well, one of their armed groups on the U.S. terrorism list on the right and the left in Colombia. mostly to the right, and including they gave them weapons, which then the right-wing death squads ended up killing 4,000 peasants. And this Chiquita Banana did after they knew that these groups were already on the U.S. terrorism list. And so they told the U.S. government and what they were doing, and their lawyer, the Chiquita Banana lawyer, made a deal with the U.S. government that no one in Chiquita Banana would be prosecuted for what they did, and no one would go to jail, and they'd only pay a fine, which they could pay over for 5 years. They had to pay it. And their lawyer, who made this deal with the U.S. government, was Eric Holder.
Right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, I think if you,
yes.
You tell American people the hypocrisy of the U.S. government in this case. It is so gross. It is so disgusting. Now, anybody would just like, this is just a total outrage. And that is one way you could reach out to the public, just to explain this kind of hypocrisy. If you would stand up and show your shirt, and I hope everybody here this year will do something to help that night.
Bradley, may I need to see you guys can't see in the back.
You know, there is a microphone over here. If you want to, they want to tape this. Keep it for the record. So if you want to move over to that mic out there, that'd be great. Could you move over to the mic, and we'll keep a line over here. And in the meantime, while people are forming, we are faced with 9/11, the 10th anniversary coming up, and I think it could be a very dangerous time. The patriotism is going to be again lifted up. We'll see the towers going down. The whole concept of terrorism will be back in people's minds, and the potential for increased fear is there. And I'm just wondering if any of you, do you think there's going to be any timing with this case in relationship to that, or how do you see this playing out over the next few weeks? Is there any?
Well, you know, the grand jury's secret, and they won't tell you when and if there's going to be indictments, but based on my experience, I believe there are going to be indictments, and I believe they're going to be in the next period of time. I can't say if it's going to be next week or next month, but I believe that there's we should try and stop it, and we should. It's not only about people who are subpoenaed to the grand jury, it's about stopping the grand jury from indicting people, because these are people who are going to face serious potential time in prison. So I think it's very important to be prepared for that, which means people are going to have to post bail. You're going to have to come to court. You're going to have to protest outside the courtroom. And I think it's going to be in the next period of time, there's going to be a material support indictment against these political activists. Maybe not all 23, for sure not all 23, but some of the people who they've targeted are going to be indicted.
I just wanted to ask about the Supreme Court case with the Eric Holder Supreme Court case. What was the name of that case again?
Holder versus the Humanitarian Law Project.
Okay, Holder versus the Humanitarian Law Project.
And
okay,
it was cited in June of 2010.
Okay, now and that involved a Kurdish organization.
It involved human rights activists in the U.S. who were trying to advise the Kurdish Workers' Party and the Tamil Tigers about how to file human rights complaints in the United Nations and how to negotiate peace agreements.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. And of course, the State Department has classified both the Kurdistan Workers' Party and the Tamil Tigers as terrorist organizations.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Just a small thing that's ironic about your question. Everything is on the website, but just a small thing to mention. On September 24th at 7 o'clock in the morning, our house was raided. And so, of course, we tried to call lawyers. We couldn't find any of the lawyers that we knew so well. And the reason is most of them that we knew were at the National Lawyers Guild convention in New Orleans. And on the agenda for that day, that Friday, September 24th, was a workshop to talk about what are we going to do about this terrible law that had just turned around in June, just a few months earlier. So that's why the National Lawyers Guild was able to make a statement within hours, because they had a workshop all set up already. They knew there was a storm coming down the hill. And by the way, just about that law, to remind you, in all the lower courts, it was ruled that that was perfectly legal and acceptable behavior. It was only, I'm not a lawyer, but it was only, as I understand, as it got to the higher levels that the thing turned itself around. So it's a sign of the hypocrisy, but also the political nature of how the wind turns.
Thank you for the wonderful talk. I had two quick questions. The first was, and something I've been sort of like thinking about and sort of talking about for a while, like, why now? You know, like why now this giant concerted effort to sort of attack activists, you know? And like, is it tied to sort of the normal dissent that sort of like is usually squelched in like economic crisis, and like we see that in the academy too? Is it a response to like maybe the sort of the US powers losing maybe the war of ideas with the sort of flotilla stuff and sort of Operation Cast Lead, in which like now sort of these options are sort of seen as sort of like, you know, not quite so damaging. Maybe the U.S. isn't on the side of good. And sort of like, you know, what is going on? Like, why now do these attacks come? Like, something I'm very curious with. And the second question is, just sort of from your experience, like, so, like, what sort of things can organizations do to sort of, like, keep security and sort of, like, to sort of, like, you know, sort of prevent some of these things without not being on, like, defense footing and sort of, like, losing and, like, sort of, like, being paranoid and sort of stuff like that? Thank you.
Okay. Obviously, we don't know what's in the mind of the powers that be, so we can only speculate. I think there's several factors. One is the Holder case kind of gives a green light now to go after people who are public activists, First Amendment people who support the struggles in Palestine and Colombia and other places. It tells the government that you can prosecute these people even though they're involved in First Amendment activities. That's one thing. I also think that the struggle for ideas is one in which the government wants to suppress the truth about what's going on in the Middle East and Colombia and other places, but particularly in Palestine. And I think that the work that people have done with delegations and speakers and events has begun to educate people about what's going on in Palestine and the rights of the Palestinian people. I tried a case in 2006 in the federal court here, which my client was accused falsely of being a leader, a military leader of Hamas. He was a grocer from Bridgeport and was arrested in Israel and tortured for 58 days and gave a confession. And they brought the secret police from Israel to testify against him. We had a trial in front of a jury of people from Chicago and Northern District of Illinois, African American, white people. And him and his co-defendant were acquitted of these charges. They were convicted of minor charges, but acquitted of the major charge, even though there was a confession because the jury rejected it. And our case, and any case about that charges activists who are involved in the Palestinian struggle, is about educating people about what the real issues are and what the real human rights violations are being perpetrated against the Palestinian people. When you do that, you can get people on your side. You can get them on your side in a courtroom, and you can get them on your side in the public opinion. So I think they want to silence that, and they don't want people organizing in support of that. And that's one of the other reasons. The third reason is they have an informant, and they want to use that informant before that informant's no longer viable. And therefore, the informant tells them a bunch of stuff mostly which is exaggerated and not true, and then they feel like either that informant is gone or they have to use that informant. So that those factors are all at play, in my opinion.
I was just going to add that this isn't a vote. For all the people that talk about the 10 factors, I think all of them can be in play. I certainly agree with all the ones he said. I just wanted to add that. For example, to give a little bit of the calendar, the grand jury that we're talking about, when they came to our door on September 24th, actually began, was convened in August of 2009. So that's not, you know, the BDS movement wasn't really on the insurgency in 2009, not really in the same way. And a lot of this started because the informant was sent because of the RNC, the Republican National Convention, which was in September of 2008. And for people who weren't at that demonstration, but were at 100 other kinds, I don't think you really understand that the Republican National Convention was an enormous demonstration of national scope. The people of Minnesota would not allow the Republican convention to become another battle in Seattle. $50 million was spent to ensure that the security would be there in place. Enormous infrastructure of security guards, new equipment. I'm not sure, but I think the FBI office in Minnesota is one of the largest in all of America, and it's perhaps related to that RNC demonstration. People that you mentioned from the RNC 8, they were arrested before the demonstration on the charges of what they would have done had they not been arrested, you know? So it was very, very high security, and that was kind of the, anyway, the millions of dollars of insurance that were spent. So that was 2008. And to say something else, in the new FBI documents that were just released a week ago, it says that the original spark in the eye that caught their attention was a delegation that went to Colombia, I believe, in 2002 or 2003. It's not to say that the Palestine isn't clearly one of their new morphs and targets, but it just shows you these are years and years of things going on. Part of it's money, by the way. Since I mentioned money of the RNC, there's a lot of FBI agents that gotta look like they're doing something, you know, next to the soft serve machine. And so part of it is just the FBI looking like they do things. Part of it is the military complex wanting to make more planes and bombs to go to more countries. And fear, apparently, is part of what they use. You know, so all of the different things that people have said are connected, and you don't have to pick your favorite of why. As far as what wisdom, talk to me outside, but I'm just actually joking, because I'm not sure. Some of the attic boxes were returned. I still don't know what to do with them, you know? It's a new era. I think we're all gonna have to, you know, have longer workshops and figure it out.
Okay.
Hi. I just wanted to comment, I don't know if this is typical government inefficiency, but it strikes me that their timeline is quite protracted, like how long they take to subpoena a new person or to make any kind of move. And I think that it might be part of their strategy to wear people down. And I want to say it's a wonderful tribute to the activists involved in this that they've been meeting at first weekly for months and months and months to organize around this, and now twice or every 2 weeks. So yay. So they're not gonna wear us down. But in the same breath, I wanna say, like, so we're not just preaching to the choir or the usual suspects, as Michael said. I think we all need to be thinking about events that could be brought to the attention of the media. We need to always, like, cultivate our friendships with people in media, because that is one way to reach the unusual suspects.
When's the next meeting, Sarah? Did you mention that?
This Sunday.
What time do you want?
Where? When?
Okay, so this Sunday at 2, we're meeting at the Kent School of Law. It's the 500 block of West Adams.
That's
Oh, sorry, four. If you join the email list, you'll get notices about the meetings.
Thanks, Ann.
Yeah, I agree with what Michael Deutsch was saying. We can't read the minds of the FBI or the Justice Department, and who'd really want to. But it seems that we also have a very positive moment in the sense that they are trying to, these efforts, the probable, pending, whatever, indictments to try to whatever conspiracy they cook up, to stop the American people from understanding what's going on in Palestine and Israel, that this is actually a weak spot of the U.S. government and U.S. imperialism at this moment, with the uprisings in throughout the what's known as the Arab Spring, and in fact the possibility of exposing that the U.S. has been behind these regimes. And I think that the reputation of Israel right now in this country is probably at the lowest point it's been. And that in addition to standing on our rights, as flimsy as those are, isn't that a point of interest among the unusual suspects? If we continue to do, rather than taking a strictly narrow civil rights approach, but actually continue to do the kind of support, solidarity, education about the reality of just what a criminal enterprise the state of Israel is, that's a possibility of building not only a defense of these courageous resistors, but a movement that can actually hit at a very weak spot of the U.S. imperialism at this moment. It just seems to me that needs to be integral to what we're doing in this whole fighting this case.
Thank you. Go ahead.
This is more of a statement than a question, so I don't know if that's okay, but yeah?
Go for it.
Okay. Well, I think the preaching to the choir thing has really a good point behind it, because like 3 weeks ago, I was not involved in this at all. I basically did not know anything about this case. So I came here from Minneapolis because I cared about it that much. And like, yeah, so like, it's not just people that are involved in this and have been involved in this for a long time. It's you guys, all of you that have been here need to reach out to somebody that you don't know or somebody that you haven't spoken to in a long time. Be like, guys, this is so important. Please become involved. Become a voice of dissent. Become a voice of support and defense for these people that have been fighting for us this whole time. And like, if you don't do that, then can you really call yourself a dissident? Can you really call yourself somebody that has been here and really been here, you know? Because, like, honestly, I did not know a way to become involved in this 3 weeks ago. I had no idea. And the only reason I knew is through a Facebook invitation to a party. That's, like, how I know about this now. So any random thing you can do to get people involved, like, what I do to get my coworkers to talk about issues like this is I bring a book with me to work every day. Like, the book I'm reading right now is about Latin American repression through the ages. And when my coworkers ask, what book are you reading? I'm like, oh, yeah, do you want to know about this? Please, let's have a conversation. Like, you know, so just, like, anything you can think of doing would be amazing, because that at least gets people a little bit more informed. And, yeah, a lot of the time the response you're going to get is, oh, and that's it. But it's, like, the one person, the one little spark you can ignite is what, like, more than you would have done that had you not done it. So it's worth it every time.
Okay, we have about 7 minutes left before we're going to close up. So,
anybody knows the name of Caligula's Homeland Security chief? When I was young, I knew his horse's name, but I never knew his social. Homeland Security. Does anybody know Fatherland's Security Chief of Hitler? But everybody knows the Everybody wants to talk about that era, say Hitler, even Milosevic, even this foot soldier did something to somebody, it was Milosevic. They couldn't prove anything on him, but everybody put all the blame on Milosevic and they killed him in prison or whatever, he died. Before they could, Mr. Deutsch knows that they couldn't prove anything on him. Now about this, why? We're just talking about FBI and Holder and so on, and nobody talks, except Mr. Deutsch, of course, about Obama. This butcher is sitting in the White House and then kissing the hands of Saudi king when it comes to begging for money or whatever. Why don't anybody talk about it? And then about organizing to write letters to these Congress people who gave 29 standing ovation to Netanyahu. Do you think you have enough resources with your papers to counter the resources of AIPAC, of military, monetary, mafia?
Yeah.
Wishful thinking. Instead of this, why not invite the people or those who are talking about non-usual suspects to come? I'm asking the question.
Yes.
Why not?
What is the question?
The question is, why not try to organize people to come into the street to advise and inform the public, the non-usual suspect, rather than wasting time writing all those bought and sold Congress, so-called Congress people that are worth nothing and get
yes. Okay, I think we have covered that in a sense.
Well, I just want to thank you, sir, for your comment. That's wonderful. And I think you point out something really important, that there are many different ways that we can advance this discussion, advance this movement, if you will. And one of them, a very important one, is to broaden the base, make sure that we are speaking with our neighbors, our friends, our colleagues. At the next event, every single person should just bring one more person with them who has never heard about this issue or has never attended events of this nature. So you point out something very important, but you can't deny the fact that legislation and policies are crafted by our elected officials. And again, our elected officials are accountable to the individuals that put them into office. So if we, this long-term strategy, we need to make sure that we get our political closets in order, that we are voting on a regular basis, showing that we care about the political process, so that when an issue does come up and we need to talk to our elected officials, they'll say, hey, you know, Sarah here has voted at every single election in the past 10 years. She's someone who's going to hold me accountable. So I hear what you're saying, and I was very dismayed that Netanyahu did receive 29 standing ovations. You're very right about that. But until we get our own act together and show our elected officials that we're willing to hold them accountable and to mobilize our forces on election day to oust someone from office, that's going to continue to happen. And it's only going to change if we register to vote and vote regularly. So thank you.
Okay, we have one more question.
Okay, I read about 2 weeks ago an article in The Nation magazine talking about the detention facilities in Marion, Illinois, for material witnesses, and that, you know, the extreme seclusion that they put those witnesses or those people into, that it was even worse than solitary confinement for convicted, you know, death penalty prisoners. And I just wondered if you could comment on that. I was like really surprised that it was in Marion. I was wondering, are there marches going down to Marion to protest the facility?
I don't really know. I'm not familiar with that. You know, Marion used to have a control unit that kept people locked up like that. But now it's that type of unit is in Terre Haute, Indiana, as far as I know. So I'm going to look it up and see. I don't really know.
Yeah,
about
it was
that.
About 2 weeks ago.
It was in Marion, Illinois.
In Marion, Illinois, right.
The federal prison down there.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, just to conclude, two things. One, we can't continue this without some funding. There is a defense fund for legal defense of the folks who have been subpoenaed. And there's a basket out on the table, and I'd ask you to think very generously about supporting that. You've heard very compelling stories here. These are real people. They're us, as someone said. And we need to support them morally, spiritually, politically, and financially. And I know there's at least one announcement. I'll let you make it real quick.
Yeah, I wanted to briefly talk about...
No, just an announcement. Not just an announcement.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to announce Socialism 2011 conference.
Okay. What time? Where?
It's going to...
Okay, great. Thank you all for coming. Thank you to the panelists. Wonderful.